Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast. Dr. Adrian Jennings, consultant anaesthetist since 2013, trained in Oxford and Birmingham with special interest in vascular and emergency anaesthesia. He serves as clinical director for patient safety at the Dudley Group, leading implementation of Martha's Rule, and sits on the Royal College of Anaesthetists Clinical Services Accreditation Committee. Outside medicine, he enjoys tennis, running, cycling, and fitness.
Welcome back to the Right Chamber podcast. My name is Jaspreet.
My name is Victor.
And today we have Dr. Adrian Jennings, one of our anaesthetic consultants. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks very much for having me. So I'm Adrian Jennings. I've been at the Dudley Group since 2013. Was appointed as a consultant anaesthetist back then, having done some of my rotational training here beforehand and liked the place, so ended up coming back. I specialise in vascular anaesthesia, do a bit of preoperative assessment and have the pleasure of the emergency theatre as well once a week. So lots of busy lists and lots of quite sick patients that make my job interesting and different on a day-to-day basis.
Wow, brilliant. And has anaesthesiology always been the goal?
Not really. I think at the start I was went down the physician route and did some of my exams for that, but decided outpatients and ward rounds was not for me. So found my little niche in anaesthetics. So we're in the lucky position that we've only got one patient to treat at one time, whereas we know that a lot of the areas of the hospital are very busy and workload can be an issue. But we can only put one to sleep at a time if it's going to sleep. So that we're sort of protected in that sense and lucky that we can just concentrate on one patient at a time and making sure that we give them the best care.
Yeah. Even I myself, I'm interested in anesthesiology, and I find it is just such a nice job. You're in a privileged, you know, position, really looking after sometimes the most ill patients, and also you know, preoperative care, perioperative care, just looking after patients when they're at their most vulnerable as well. So it's just such a it's so good to be part of, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think there's a perception that all we do is put people to sleep. But as you say, there's a lot more to it than that. There's the preoperative stuff, as you say, and there's been a lot of work nationally about how getting ready for surgery is a moment to reevaluate sort of lifestyle opportunities and getting people fitter for surgery to both improve the outcome for them, but also for the NHS, it's right good for us to be operating on as healthy patients as possible, so we can help them get out of the hospital as quickly as possible, as you say. And then, as well as putting people to sleep, we do a lot of work around pain, critical care. We do lots of procedures, so nerve blocks and things like that to help with pain afterwards. So, and quite a lot of our patients are awake during surgery, which I think people in the public don't really think of. It's a varied job, and even within anaesthetics there's lots of different directions you can take your specialty training to whatever piques your interest.
So do you have any other roles in your job role?
Yeah, so I'm also the clinical director for patient safety at Dudley Group. And what this has seen me most involved in is trying to improve the care that we provide to deteriorating patients in the trust. So those that are, the sickest patients that we look after in the inpatient setting, And most recently, that's taken me to have a role in introducing Martha's Rule to the trust.
Okay, Martha's Rule. I don't think I've heard of Martha's Rule. I'd love to hear more about. So who's Martha?
So Martha was a girl that lived in the London area, and back in 2021, she fell off her bike and sustained an injury to her pancreas. So that's one of the organs in the body. And unfortunately, ultimately passed away from that. At the time, her parents, I think, felt that she was deteriorating within the hospital and didn't feel that they were able to, weren't fully listened to in their concerns as she sort of deteriorated. And they've done some fantastic work since her passing with NHS England to come up with this Martha's Rule, which is really trying to prevent any further examples of the same, sad events taking place in the NHS.
That is such a tough situation to be in, you can imagine, for the family. And I think just generally, even from patient to healthcare staff, and even healthcare staff to each other, it's always really important, isn't it, to be able to build this atmosphere that people feel that they can speak up, and themes like accountability, integrity comes up. How do you kind of navigate creating this environment in a healthcare team?
As you say, I think we've got responsibilities as the healthcare team to realise that in the families and patients know themselves best. They know their loved one better than we do. And we need to try and educate the public to that if they're worried that their condition is getting any worse, that they need to talk to us and not be afraid to do so. And from the staff side, we need to get used to understanding that that information is really important, and that we need to both ask how people are feeling. Mm. We need to then think about listening to that response really well and taking this into the concerns, providing reassurance if we need to, but recognizing that they may be picking up on a cue that the patient themselves or the family are recognizing that there's a deterioration is occurring that we have not yet detected with our sort of blood pressures and pulses and the sort of more scientific side of things. And then making sure that we act as staff to get the right care to that patient, which is normally going to be escalating it to one of the medical teams to come along and do a clinical review and either provide reassurance or change the treatment as required to put them back on the right course.
So for example, so if a patient was discharged and a family member rang, so someone will go and review that patient.
Yeah, so I think we want this to most of the time to be dealt at a ward level. So if a member of the family or a carer was concerned that maybe compared to the day before when they visited that their loved one is looking less well, it's really encouraging. We from the staff should be asking for the opinions of patients and families, but similarly, we want the public to recognise that we are here to listen, and we want to listen to any concerns. So yeah, so if someone phoned up and said that they thought they were worse, then our staff would listen to that, act on it, and try and make sure that if there is any genuine deterioration occurring, that we can act upon that sooner, which is obviously good for the patient and good for the hospital. We know that there are some circumstances in which despite raising concerns, as happened in Martha's case, that their concerns weren't listened to. And in that instance, there's also something called a call for concern, which can be placed, which is another part of Martha's Rule. So a call for concern is putting the right to request a rapid review from an independent team, which is our critical care outreach team at Dudley Group, who would come along and review the patient with a fresh set of eyes, and And obviously, if they feel that the patient is deteriorating, that they've got access to the medical teams and the resources to, again, put that right. So we want that to be a point of last resort. We don't expect to receive a lot of calls for concern, but we also recognise that in a complex system like healthcare, things can go wrong. And so, as in Martha's case, it's important that there is a way for patients and families to ask for that independent rapid review if needed. And we, you know, and we're really pleased that we've managed to bring that into Dudley Group swiftly, and we our critical care outreach team are pleased to take on this new workload, and you know, we've had some good success stories already with it.
You can see why an initiative like this is so important to have in the system, especially in such a pressurized area in which healthcare is. Often ward rounds can be, you know, quite fast because the patient numbers that you have to see, and you know, if there's clinics and other things as well going on at the same time. So having that time to really engage the family of that of the patient, it can just go a long way to you know, avoid missing certain things that we might have otherwise missed. So I suppose there's several layers to this. So there's the layer of empowering the family of the patient to speak up. Then there's the layer of us actually making sure we're listening and taking on board what they're saying. And then also providing the space that they can speak up, because sometimes even if you do all the empowering, but you haven't taken the time to ask, then they won't really get the opportunity to say, even though they're absolutely really, yeah, ready to speak.
And I think we all recognise that on wards are pressurised areas, and we've traditionally placed a lot of emphasis on measurements, on pulse rates and on blood pressures and the other things that we as doctors are sort of wired to
first question
ask about, indeed.
Whereas scoring,
we all know that when we realize ourselves that you know your own body and you can tell if you're coming down with the temperature or something, often you feel worse, you feel ill before your temperature goes up or before that you sort of overtly are ill. And it's really taking that what seems like obvious sort of science, I suppose, and making sure that we respect and ask and act on that sort of science within the complexities of the hospital, and don't overly rely on numbers and measurements, and that we're, you know, and that's a different way, culturally, that's a different way of working. So I think it's exciting for us to have that, you know, new way of working, and almost to go back to some basics of talking to patients and families, asking how they're feeling, and also for staff to be not afraid to use their professional intuition more so, and not always rely on being reassured by numbers. If you, as a healthcare professional, think this patient looks ill and I'm worried about them, again, that's something that we shouldn't, as staff members, be in any way afraid to sort of trust our judgment and escalate in that situation.
I think that's very important, because I feel like a lot of allied health professionals sometimes are scared to speak up, you know, like healthcare assistants, they are with the patient a lot more than doctors and nurses. And if they might, you know, find that a patient doesn't look well, but because the numbers are right and we did a ward round in the morning, we say, no, there's nothing wrong with them. So I think it's very important to put it out there that if they feel that something's wrong, speak up.
Yeah, treat the patient, not the
numbers. Not the numbers.
I think a lot of the signs of deterioration can be quite soft. It might be they're not eating as well. It might be they've are slightly more confused, or might be that they haven't gone to the toilet as often because they're not, they're becoming dehydrated. So, and those things are more apparent to family members and to patients, and maybe, as you say, other members of the hospital staff that are maybe spending more time with the patient than the doctors that just come around once a day, and picking up on those soft signs as markers of deterioration is important. And that's even more so in patients that can't communicate so freely. They might not,
yeah,
English might not be their first language, or it might be that there are other barriers to communication, that those soft signs nonetheless still apply. So advocating for those patients in that circumstance is really important, and making sure we take the time to try and communicate and establish if there really is a problem, you know, with a translation service or with other adjustments as required to try and make sure that we're treating everybody equally.
Yeah, amazing. So with Martha's role, it's now being kind of introduced into the trust, and it sounds like it's been really well accepted, and we're making a lot of progress with it. So how long have we been active with using Martha's role? So when was it introduced? And
so the we're part of one of I think 143 NHS pilot sites across the country. So it's been going for about a year now, the pilot, and the different trusts are at different stages in their implementation. We've managed to implement all of the components of it, but I think recognise that there's still a journey to be had, that you can introduce the mechanics of a service, but still advertising that the service exists both to our patients and our families and carers that visit, but also getting our staff aware of things, and helping to, as I say, slightly change the embedded culture of maybe being more constrained by numbers and measurements, and not the sort of soft signs and how the patients and carers feel that they're doing is a journey. And so we're obviously having to tackle that in lots of different ways for our staff that join the trust, through induction and through our established staff with educational things such as this, and obviously lots of other campaigns to try and get that message out, and so that all of our staff know who Martha was, what Martha's role is, and how that manifests at Dudley Group.
Did you face any challenges when you were trying to introduce this in Dudley?
I think it's, as I found, getting any change is difficult in the NHS. It takes quite a long time, and you've got so many staff to get things through. So I think the main challenge is communicating from me and the other people in the leadership team to the people on the shop floor that are really interacting with our patients. As even as an anaesthetist, it's not as relevant in my day-to-day work, because I don't meet many families, and obviously people come to theatre for an operation, so we know that they're unwell at that point. So I think that's certainly a challenge. And from the patient point of view, I think the main thing is trying to make sure that people don't feel afraid to speak up. Often there is that sort of barrier. People are worried about creating additional workload for busy staff, or being sort of nuisance, or whatever, however you would phrase it, I suppose. But that's not what we want. We want people to be confident and happy to raise any concerns that they've got. And whilst Martha's role is really about patient deterioration specifically, obviously any concern they've got about their health, they should feel comfortable to raise that with the ward teams, so that we can, we can deal with that. I think we know a lot of complaints in the NHS can pertain to things that ultimately come back to a lack of communication with the patient and the family, so they're not really understanding what's going on. And so the more that we all talk and work together, hopefully the better, more satisfied everyone will be, both staff-wise and patient-wise.
I think essentially it just comes down to just taking time to listen to both sides, I suppose, and understanding what's going on. Just make sure it's what we're doing is for the best stuff for the patient.
Mm, yeah. And when it comes to like awareness, it's in two parts of making the patient, letting them know that they have this opportunity to speak up, but then also letting the staff know that patients can speak up, and you should be ready to listen to what they're saying. So it's kind of awareness has to be pushed in both directions of reaching out to the patients, our local community, as well as our in-house staff. So hopefully, you know, people as they're listening to this podcast right now, they're also learning as we're learning about Martha's role. Is there any other material or anywhere you can point them towards if they'd like to learn more about this?
Yeah, so we've got a section on the Trust website about Martha's Rule. Both the staff website has got obviously slightly different content, but also the external site that the public can access. There's a section on Martha's Rule and Call for Concern, so you can read a little bit more about it there and the way that it works at Dudley Group, and the telephone number if anyone has a loved one that's already in the hospital, that they've for them to be aware of what number they can call if they do need that, feel they need that rapid review because they feel that their loved one's deteriorating. So yeah, the material's out there, lots of posters on the wards as you walk around as well. So we're trying to get that communication, make that communication as easy as possible for everybody. But I think, as you say, there's always room to do more, and we'll be releasing some new material over the next few weeks and months as the national team deliver more and more content.
And hopefully with all of this, the public will feel that, you know, the confidence to be able to ask whenever they need to ask, and we'll be there to listen to them and do what needs doing to make sure that they feel like they've been heard, and ultimately we see the progress in patient outcomes, which is ultimately what we want.
So does this campaign have a catchphrase?
It's Martha's Rule, detecting deterioration. So that's the and there's a national logo and things, so you'll hopefully see that across the NHS over the next few years. And I think they're extending its scope into other areas such as maternity and community services. So it may will hopefully become a well-known campaign, whatever part of the country that you're in. So if you're not local to Dudley, then, you know, ask your local hospital what they're doing about Martha's Rule, because it should be that everywhere is starting to, you know, follow this campaign and make the changes necessary to make sure that we're meeting Martha's Rule.
Yeah. And ultimately, you see this perfect cohesion, I guess, is the goal of the doctors, you know, the healthcare staff, the nurses, all doing what they're doing, but also bringing along with this patient-centeredness and, you know, bringing along the patient and their family in their care, just to provide the absolute best that we can. And that's kind of the goal, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we don't want that call for concern number being used very much, but recognising that in a busy system, there'll always be gaps, and so having that sort of that emergency review if needed, I think, is really important.
And like a safety net.
It's a safety net, and the safety net that Martha's parents herself didn't have in 2021, but we will have going forwards, you know, to hopefully learn from that sad event.
Brilliant.
And hopefully it's going to be nationwide soon.
Brilliant. Yeah,
so I think 143 pilot sites is most of the NHS in the inpatient setting, but yeah, watch this space as it extends both within our hospital into other areas, but also into every hospital in the country.
As you've all heard, listening, there's a space on our Trust website where you can go to learn more about Martha's Rule. And also there's the website outside of the Trust where you can find out more about the initiative in itself. And yeah, you can find out if your local hospital is taking this on board. Thank you so much for coming onto our podcast today, Dr. Adrian.
Thank you very much for having me.
I think it's very important for like our medical staff and the public to have understood what Martha's Rule is.
Absolutely.
And what we're doing about it.
if you have any questions, any contributions, perhaps you didn't know about Martha's Rule and there's something you'd like to know, always feel free to interact, leave us a comment. And if you want to come on the podcast as well, let us know and we will try to arrange that. Brilliant. Have a lovely one.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.